I've studied over and over again, since they came into my hands, all the papers relating to this monster, and the more I have studied, the greater seems the necessity to utterly stamp him out. All through, there are signs of his advance, not only of his power, but of his knowledge of it. As I learned from the researches of my friend Arminius of Budapest, he was in life a most wonderful man. Soldier, statesman, and alchemist, which latter was the highest development of the science knowledge of his time. He had a mighty brain, a learning beyond compare, and a heart that knew no fear and no remorse. He dared even to attend the scholomance, and there was no branch of knowledge of his time that he did not essay. Well, in him the brain powers survived the physical death, though it would seem that memory was not all complete. In some faculties of mind he has been and is only a child, but he's growing, and some things that were childish at the first are now of man's stature. He's experimenting and doing it well, and if it had not been that we have crossed his path, he would be yet, he may yet be, if we fail, the father or furtherer of a new order of beings, whose road must lead through death, not life. Dr. Abraham Van Helsing.
Chapter 1. In the Fog. Dr. Seward's diary, kept in phonograph. The 17th of September. Last night's delivery was easier than the others. Much easier than last week's. Perhaps with practice and patience everything becomes easier, if never easy. Never easy. I'm sorry. It's difficult to maintain an orderly mind, and this marvellous apparatus is unforgiving. I cannot ink over hasty words or tear loose a spoiled page. The cylinder revolves, the needle etches, and my ramblings are graven for all time in merciless wax. Marvellous apparatuses like miracle cures are beset with unpredictable side effects. In the 20th century, new means of setting down human thought may precipitate an avalanche of worthless digression. Brevis esse laboro, as Horace would have it, I know how to present a case history. This will be of interest to posterity. For now, I work in camera and secrete the cylinders with what remains of my earlier accounts. As the situation stands, my life and liberty would be endangered were these journals exposed to the public ear. One day, I should wish my motives and methods made known and clear. Very well. The subject, female, apparently in her 20s. Recently dead, I should say. Profession, obvious. Location, Chicksand Street. The bricked lane end opposite Flower and Dean Street. Time, shortly after 5 anti-meridium. I'd been wandering for upwards of an hour in fog as thick as spoiled milk. Fog is best for my night work. The less one can see of what the city has become in this year, the better. Like many, I've taken to sleeping by day, working by night. Mostly I doze. It seems years since the bliss of actual sleep. Hours of darkness are the hours of activity now. Of course, here in Whitechapel, things were never much different. There's one of those cursed blue plaques in Chicksand Street, at 197, one of the Count's bolt holes. Here lay 6 of the earth boxes to which he and Van Helsing attached such superstitious and, as it eventuated, entirely unwarranted importance. Lord Godalming was supposed to destroy them, but, as in so much else, my noble friend proved not equal to the task. I was under the plaque, unable to discern its wording, pondering our failures, when the dead girl solicited my attention.
"Mister," she called. "Mister."
As I turned, she settled feathers away from her throat. Her neck and bosom showed mist white. A living woman would have shook with the cold. She stood under a staircase leading to a first-floor doorway, above which burned a red-shaded lantern. Behind her, bar shadowed by the stairs, was another doorway, half-sunken below the level of the pavement. None of the windows in the building, nor in any close enough to see clearly, showed a light. We inhabited an island of visibility in a sea of murk.